Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the fun, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell, let's where them cowards going. Well, all you still down, holler when you see me. And let these devils suck, for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan.
All right, let's get right into this, Crowder.
I need to hear this.
So, first and foremost, we didn't even play any of these after the Bucks won a championship, which, shame on us, because this is really our bread and butter here when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. And you mispronounced his name last segment. It's taken me very, very, very many years to say this correctly. Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Tiki Barber still struggles with it on the CBS Sports updates. Like, it's rough. But this is unbelievable. So this all started, Crowder, with Eric Reed. He's the Bally Sports TV broadcaster for the Miami Heat. He's been doing it forever, it feels like.
Yeah.
And we found audio of him botching Giannis Antetokounmpo's name. Now, admittedly, it's not an easy name to spell. It's not an easy name to pronounce. So many people struggle with it. So it all kind of started here with this audio bite of Eric Reed mispronouncing Giannis's name.
Antetokounmpo for three.
That's not it.
Which is still funny. Now, it's spelled Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. I came across this article last night, or somebody maybe sent it to me on Twitter. I don't know, but I found this article on Twitter. It's from the undefeated Crowder from 2019. Martenzie Johnson wrote this June 24th of 2019. Giannis Antetokounmpo's birth last name is not the way we see it spelled on the back of his jersey, is not the way that it is pronounced. Now, his last name a week before the NBA draft was Giannis Antetokounmpo, the way Eric Reed says it here.
Antetokounmpo for three.
Spelled Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. Eric Reed, even though we've clowned on him for the past couple of years, had it right. He wasn't wrong, because that soundbite came from Antetokounmpo's first year in the NBA when people still weren't sure if to pronounce it the way it was originally spelled or to pronounce it the way that now we hear people pronounce it, which is the way it's spelled, Antetokounmpo.
Sounds like vindication. That's what it sounds
like. No, Steven, I just a little pushback here. He changed his name before he entered the NBA. Correct?
So, can I give you the backstory why his name was changed or no? No. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
I was going to say,
it was changed. It was changed.
Before he got in the NBA. So, he changed his name before Eric Reed yelled that out.
Antetokounmpo for three.
So he pronounced it incorrectly. Solana, if I change Crowder to Crowder, and today I change it to Crowder, and tomorrow you call me Crowder, you're wrong.
Okay, maybe, but to
no, there's
Eric
no,
Reed's
there's no
defense,
maybe, there's no maybe. It's correct.
Hold on, you're okay. Okay, yes, you are correct. But here's where I think Eric Reed is vindicated. Okay, Antetokounmpo, when he came into the league, wasn't, you know, he wasn't like LeBron. LeBron James out of high school, everybody had these expectations for LeBron. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Giannis's first year in the NBA, he went, for the most part, unnoticed. He was the Greek freak because of his length and because of his height. He grew like 5 inches from his rookie season in the NBA to his sophomore season in the NBA. Like, he, for the most part, again, went under the radar. And Eric Reed saw his last name and pronounced it the way any of us would have read his last name, Antetokounmpo, because it was spelled Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. He pronounced it the way any of us would have sounded it out. So technically, he was pronouncing his last name the way any of us would have pronounced his last name because that's the way it was spelled. Eric Reed wasn't wrong. Eric Reed was right.
You know what? I would like to apologize to Eric because we've been riding him on that for a couple years now. Sorry.
We have.
Sorry,
we have.
Mr. Reed.
It evolved into, I think, one of our best segments, which is playing all these sounds, which we're going to play now anyways. Does this mean we're not going to keep playing Eric Reed, pronouncing it incorrectly, and maybe, you know, continue to forget that maybe he was right? Absolutely not. We're going to continue to make fun of Eric Reed and Stacey King and Obama and Shaq and Tiki Barber because it makes
a
great radio.
Solana, how can you defend Fat Joe? Like,
impossible.
Yeah, you know, I know. Impossible. Well, you got Eric Reed's back, and I'll go with you on Eric, but some of these are still damn ridiculous. I don't care if it's B-O-A-N-T. I don't care how many letters and consonants it has. These people can't say this man's name.
So before we get to these Antetokounmpo sounds, and by the way, we're going to replay Nick Saban in the next segment. He was fantastic yesterday. I know a lot of us have nothing good to think about Nick Saban or to say about Nick Saban, but truthfully, yesterday you and Hawk sat down with him at SEC Media Days, and he was fantastic. So we're going to replay the Nick Saban interview in the next segment. But let me read to you why his name, because it's actually quite fascinating why his name was changed from Adetokunbo to Giannis Antetokounmpo. In 94, December 1994, Antetokounmpo was born in Greece to Nigerian immigrants Charles and Veronica Adetokunbo. He went by Giannis Adetokunbo for the first 18 years of his life until it was changed to its current spelling when he received his Greek passport in May 2013, which was just a couple weeks before he was drafted 15th overall by the Milwaukee Bucks in that year's draft. Because many couldn't pronounce the young budding star's last name, Antetokounmpo quickly became the Greek Freak, which makes sense. You can't pronounce the guy's last name. Everybody gives him a nickname. But with all the emphasis on his Greek origins, it was quickly lost that Antetokounmpo wasn't ethnically Greek, but the son of Nigerians, and that he had a very Nigerian surname. So because he was getting a Greek passport, they changed his last name to reflect that of a more Greek last name, which makes me upset in the first and foremost. And
ridiculous.
Second of all, I'm telling you, vindicates Eric damn Reed, because Eric Reed did his research and found that the way it was being spelled was not the way Giannis Antetokounmpo grew up, so he pronounced it the way it was spelled, which was Adetokunbo.
Okay. Okay,
if
so.
I'm going to call him Adetokunbo. I'm going to call him Adetokunbo.
I'm going to call him Adetokunbo.
Let me get. So the Greek government just said, hey, this is easier for us to say, or this is more Greek.
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
I don't know for sure. I don't want to speak out of term, and the article doesn't go into like.
Like the backing behind that, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
The specifics of the name and why the people in Greece. I don't want to get into specifics, and I think it's it would be bad form of me to you know just say something without actually doing the research. And when Hawk is here, normally he would know, so I would do reckless speculation and everything would be okay because he would just call me an idiot, and that's the way the show goes. But without Hawk here, without the smart guy here, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just recklessly speculate on it. But a fact is, his last name before he got a Greek passport and was able to travel to the U.S. was Adetokunbo, and it was changed to Antetokounmpo. So that's what it is. And you know, the legend lives on of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm glad it wasn't done for simplicity.
Added
more letters.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You know what? Thanks for enlightening me on that. I did not know that story.
So again, here's Eric Reed mispronouncing Giannis Antetokounmpo's name.
Antetokounmpo for three.
It never gets old. It never gets old. Stacey King, longtime Chicago Bulls broadcaster.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That wasn't either. That wasn't nope. Nigerian or Greek. That was nope. not either. Yeah, he didn't know it.
Stacey King saw Adetokunbo. He saw Antetokounmpo, and somehow he came out with this.
Giannis Adetokunbo.
former President Barack Obama. He's up on a stage. He's giving an address, and you know Brock very smooth when he talks. He is a great talker. That's not a political statement. You can't deny Barack Obama a very smooth talker when he's up and he's delivering some sort of address to people. And this is how the former president pronounced the now finals MVP.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Kill Giannis.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal, we know, sometimes hard to understand on the TNT broadcast, famous for mumbling at times on the TNT broadcast. This is how he pronounced Giannis Antetokounmpo's name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Just a poor effort there by Shaquille O'Neal. What was that, Steve?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Do we have Tiki Barber?
I always give Shaq a pass because his eyes are close. I don't think he can read that well. Because his eyes are too close. So you give Big Shaq a pass.
Do we have Tiki Barber, Steve? Tiki Barber on the on the CBS Sports update. He's adding a W in there, Crowder. I don't understand.
He did it. He just did it after the championship.
He did it yesterday. I texted Hakan and Solana. I'm like, even after winning, he's still too stubborn to say it correctly.
He's quampoing it. He does quampo it.
Quampo, Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And then, of course, nobody beats the legendary rapper Fat Joe. This is some of Fat Joe's best work, the absolute worst ever pronunciation of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sarabatudo. Sarabatudo.
That must be his middle name. That's nowhere close.
It doesn't make any sense.
Where'd he get the S from?
It doesn't make any sense. But again, Fat Joe pronouncing finals MVP, two-time NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sarabatudo.
This is crazy.
All right, Crowder, let's get to headlines here before we get to Nick Saban. Marlins, they'll play the San Diego Padres tonight. 7:10 start time from Lone Depot Park. Your son's favorite player, Fernando Tatis Jr., is going to be in Miami. It's going to make for some fun couple games at Lone Depot Park. The Marlins, though, not doing too well. I think their season's officially over, Crowder. They'll probably be sellers at the trade deadline. It sucks, but they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, no. That's curtains for them. But decent season, maybe? No?
I mean, they're last in the division. Injuries. Like, no, it hasn't really been a good season for the Marlins, Crowder.
It was a pretty decent season.
We got Jazz. We got Jazz. He came on. You know, we have an all-star. Doesn't every team have to have an all-star, though, for Trevor Triraj to go?
Do they still? I don't know if they still do that in Major League Baseball. I don't know if that's why Trevor Rogers went, but it would make sense why Trevor Rogers was an all-star.
Corey Dickerson was traded. Bunch of stuff this season.
Never mind. I'm a glass half full type of guy.
All right. No, I mean, I respect it. I respect it. Inter Miami, let's see how you can frame this in a positive way. Mm-hmm. They lost 5-0 to New England yesterday. They have the worst record, fewest goals in the league. They've lost their sixth game in a row under first-year head coach Phil Neville. Five of those last six losses have been shutouts, unable to score a goal in those games, Crowder.
You know, young coach, young team, feeling their way out through this league. They're terrible. They're just, they're terrible.
Very bad. Please don't try to spin a positive light on this. Hurricane safety Avante Williams suspended by the team. He was arrested today on domestic violence charges. The Canes, they released a statement that they're aware that the football student has been arrested by the Miami-Dade Police Department. He was immediately suspended from all team activities.
And if we won't get into it. Look into the, you know, and innocent until proven guilty, you know, let it play out in court. But if what the initial report is, what happened to a pregnant girlfriend of his, this young man should not be on the Canes team or any other college football team anytime soon.
Yeah, ugly stuff, man. Just tough reading that. The Olympics, they begin tomorrow. I guess they've already begun. There's been some soccer games and some other events the past couple of days. But the official opening ceremony, Crowder, is tomorrow. It's weird because since Japan or the Olympics are in Tokyo – since they're several hours ahead of the United States. NBC is going to air the opening ceremony tomorrow live at 7 a.m., but then they're going to re-air it primetime tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. So tough decision here. You're going to wake up, watch the Olympic ceremony at 7 a.m., or are you going to wait to rewatch it technically a full day after it's happened at 7:30 p.m. primetime in the United States?
So that's a tough decision.
Tough decision there, Crowder. Which one are you going to do? Because you have to watch it. You have to watch it.
But is this where they're not playing actual sports? They're running around in a circle with a big flashlight?
Right. Everybody enters. There's flag holders, flag bearers for every country. Everybody's represented. And then there's always like some sort of opening ceremony that reflects the heritage and the cultural traditions of Tokyo.
Yeah, I was messing around about the big flashlight, but I'll watch it tomorrow night for my kids. I don't care. To be honest, I don't give a damn about the opening ceremonies. I'll watch the athletic events, but opening ceremonies don't do anything for me. But for my kids, I think that's cool for them to watch. The different cultures, every flag come by with their athletes. I think that is cool for my younger generation, my 7 and 8 year old. Oh, and nine year old. Man, I'm old.
Dude,
I forget their ages.
Are they excited about, like, do they get hyped about the Olympics? I imagine they don't care at that age.
No. My son's, he's mad that the finals is over. But,
yeah,
he loves sports, but the Olympics just doesn't get it going for them. Because they don't, you know what? And Hawk talked about it with his son DJ all the time. These younger generations, they follow players. Like my son loves Tatis. My son doesn't like the Padres. My son loves Steph Curry. He doesn't like the Golden State Warriors. Like, these kids nowadays, they just care about human faces. They don't give a damn about teams.
Yeah, you got to inject your son with some culture. Because he's got to jump on the Miami Heat bandwagon and show him the way, Crowder. That's unacceptable.
You'll be proud of me because he plays 2K, NBA 2K with his friends. His best player is Bam Adebayo, and he's jacked his rating up to like 4,000-something. Bam shoots threes. Bam dunks. Bam is the best player, and he plays with the Miami Heat. So, yes, Salon, I have injected him with a little culture.
I love it. And the NFL, they inform clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week NFL season because of a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak is going to have to forfeit, and they'll be credited with the loss, which will impact playoff seeding. That was tweeted out by Tom Pelissero earlier today. Quickly, your thoughts on that. Like, it could have major implications. What's to say a team wouldn't prefer to forfeit a game to not risk it? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many factors at play here.
I don't think a team wants to forfeit a game, but we talked about this a while ago. Remember when Bruce Arians came out? Bruce Arians, the head coach of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, came out and he said, "I'm not bringing in any doctors. I'm not bringing in any professionals. I'm the professional. I'm the expert. Get vaccinated so we can win another Super Bowl." You can't force your players to get vaccinated. It's illegal. You know what I'm saying? There's religious reasons and different ways. You cannot force athletes, your players, to get vaccinated. But as a team, if we start losing games because you guys aren't vaccinated, now that leans you more towards, as a competitor, to get vaccinated. Every league, every team, football, baseball, basketball, Solana, everybody wants their team to get vaccinated so that they can practice, so they can travel, so they can get back to the norm, our old normal. But you can't make them. So this is just another incentive with these billion-dollar leagues that are trying to get these players to get vaccinated so that they can continue to make a bunch of damn money off their athletic ability. It's kind of smart if you think about it from a business standpoint to put this on those teams, but it is a little sneaky how they're trying to make people get vaccinated. If they don't believe in it, religiously, whatever it is, they want to keep this money train rolling, and this is another way the NFL is getting it done.
That's it, man. They want 18 games, they want 17 games played by every single organization across the NFL because they want their money and they want those checks to cash, Crowder. It's as simple as that.
And to be honest, I think it's safer for the players to forfeit a game than try to play a game on Tuesday and Sunday and then Tuesday again.
Yeah.
You know, when they try to pack the games in tight like they did, that has a higher chance of injury than just a forfeit. Now, if you're one game behind in the AFC East and you have to forfeit a game that knocks you out the playoffs, you're going to be upset about it. But, yes, the player's safety, the forfeit is better because you're not even playing football. You're sitting at home chilling.
Let's get to Weather from the Demesman and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Still hot as hell outside in South Florida. Right now, technically 92 degrees in Miami. It feels like 190,000 degrees outside, though, because of how hot it is. That is your weather. Right now, the ACC media tours are happening. Manny Diaz spoke earlier or yesterday, but there was a coach that you and Hawk sat down with yesterday. Doesn't coach in the ACC, coaches in the SEC, Crowder, but the Miami Hurricanes will play Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Very first game of the college football season for the Miami Hurricanes and for Alabama. Neutral site game. Big implications, if you think about it, for both teams. And you guys sat down with them yesterday. It was, in my opinion, one of the better interviews we've ever done on this show.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I'm gonna listen to it. I was there, and I'm going to listen to it this second time.
We're going to replay yesterday's interview between Nick Saban and Hawk and Crowder next, right here on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Solo El Shadow knows.
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are back live at SEC Media Days. It is the Capital One Orange Bowl Radio Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill, proud sponsor of local youth sports and partner of the Orange Bowl Youth Football Alliance and the Orange Bowl Festival. For more information and to find your favorite Duffy's Sports Grill, you can find them at duffysmvp.com. There is the air of anticipation as Nick Saban is making his way down Radio Row and truly ignoring every radio station. We're told that he's coming to see us, and we'll see if he actually stops or not, or if if he walks on into the mall and tries to get some Auntie Anne's pretzels or something. But he may recognize you being a former player of his. But if he does stop by, Joe Zagacki, he begged us, please ask him some Alabama stuff. Yeah. So Zagacki will have it for the pregame show on September 4th. I got the email from Joe. Yeah, but I'm going to bug him, too. I want to see if I can get him to, I don't want him to walk away in a huff, but I want to try to ask questions that aren't football related and see maybe if
he swings on you.
Swing on me.
Okay.
Just to see and here he comes now. You may recognize this guy, Crowder, sitting across from his former head coach with the Miami Dolphins.
Living legend right
and
here.
And Florida Gator.
And Florida Gator, of course. Nick Saban is with us. So does Crowder make your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players of all time?
No, absolutely not. It was he was probably a first-round draft pick, and because of his injury issues, we were lucky, very lucky, to be able to draft him in the third round and became immediate starter and was really a good player for us for a couple of years and had a great career. So we're happy for him.
Coach, you still running base under roll, double seven, adjust the switch, triple clip, check hands?
Yeah, we're doing all that.
I remember you jammed that into our heads. We can stop anything if y'all learn this damn call. I still remember that call.
And we did okay.
Yeah, we had a good defense. But
that second year, we were like third in the league in defense. If we wouldn't have had the quarterback issues, we'd have been really good.
Yes, sir.
Wait a second. We're talking about the same Crowder here. You're sure he's not on your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players that have ever played under you?
No, absolutely not.
He's not on the Mount Rushmore of players that have played under you. No,
anybody that can remember that call. For 15 years now, right?
Yes, sir.
15 years.
Was he able to produce on that call, though? That's the question.
Yeah, he produced. But the fact that he can remember just shows you how bright and what a good player he was.
Oh, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe here. Nick Saban is with us. The college football kickoff this year is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. So what worries you about opening the college football season against the Miami Hurricanes?
Well, Miami has a really good team. I think they went 8-3 last year, got a lot of good players coming back, really good quarterback. Manny's done a great job there, and he's a good defensive coach. So this is going to be a very challenging game for us. You know, when you win a national championship, you win because you had a lot of good players, a lot of good leadership, and we lost a lot of those guys, especially on offense. So a lot of opportunity for a lot of young guys, but how they respond early on will really determine, you know, how well we can do against a very good Miami team.
And, Coach, with the turnover, like, you know, you go back to Ruggs and Judy leaving and then Waddle and Devontae step right in. You know, he wins the damn Heisman. Like, do you know if guys are going to be – you know they're going to be good before you see them in a game? Do you have to see a guy with the quarterback situation you're in now, Mac leaving? Do you have to see a guy play before? Because I heard you giving some reporters hell a little earlier about, you know, putting Young on this pedestal already without him playing in the game.
Yeah, well, I think at certain positions, you know, you really like to see guys because they can get their confidence can be affected so much. You know, quarterback's like a baseball pitcher. You know, you watch a baseball pitcher, some days no hitter, next day he can't get the ball over the plate. And I think quarterback's a lot that way. So if a guy can develop confidence, I think he can play well. I think when you see a wide receiver and the guy's explosive and fast and hard to cover and great hands, you kind of know that guy's time is going to come and that guy is going to have production and be a great player. But in some positions, I like to see guys go out there and do it. You know, offensive line is another area where, you know, guys got to work together. They got to be able to pass pro. They got to know what they're doing because every time they don't block somebody, somebody's going to get blowed up. All right, so we're inexperienced in that area too. So hopefully the quarterback will come through for us. We'll be able to build the offensive line. I think we'll be okay from a skill position standpoint, but those are critical positions on offense.
Nick Saban is with us. Do you like opening the college football season against a legendary football program like the University of Miami, especially with the quarterback, a younger quarterback? Do you like the spotlight that comes with that game, or would you rather ramp it up a little more slowly?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of team you have. I think if you have a young team, it's always good to have a game that you can sort of maybe ease your way into and ramp it up against a better opponent. But I think one of the things that's a real benefit of playing a good team early is your players have respect for that team, so the whole off-season program, the whole off-season program, spring practice, summer conditioning, everything that you do leading up to the season, you have their attention because they know they have to be ready to play in the first game.
And, Coach, what are you – I say it sounds crazy. What are you trying to prove? Like, you're right now, I think you're the best college coach of all time. You've passed Bear and, you know, all the numbers. You have plenty of trophies on the lake house. I've seen all the video. I never got invited to the lake house, Coach. Just want to let you know. I'll give you my number if you want
to. I mean, there's still time to right that wrong, Coach.
If you want a fishing buddy, Coach, you know. But you have trophies everywhere, Coach. You have all these awards, all these accolades. What drives you to get up 5 a.m.? What drives you to still set up defenses, still call base under 077 and just switch triple clip check?
Now you're just showing off.
Well, you know what, though? I think that all of us become very outcome-oriented, especially when you're an athlete, because it's all about winning a game. But I think when you're a coach and you really want to win because that's the competitive part of it, but you get a lot of positive self-gratification from developing, helping people develop, have a better chance to be more successful in life, see them get an education, see them graduate, see them go out and have success, see guys develop a career and be able to play at the next level. And every season and every team's a new challenge. All right, so if you don't think about the outcome and you just think about what do I have to do to get the outcome and you're looking ahead, you see the same challenge this year as you've seen 25 years ago, you know, the first year you were head coach. Because that's what you have to develop on this team to get these players to play, to develop the chemistry on this team to get. So that challenge is something that, you know, I guess really kind of keeps me going. And the fact that I hate to lose doesn't hurt any.
Oh, I know, Coach. And I wanted to ask you about the NIL stuff, the name, image, and likeness. From we all know what it is. What challenge does that add to you as a head coach?
Well, look, I think name, image, players have always been able to work.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, probably when you were back in Florida, they probably had a summer jobs program, and you could have worked, you know, in the summertime if you chose to do that, or you could just work out and try to enhance your career. So players have always been able to work. This is just an opportunity for players to work. Now, when we started giving cost of attendance and guys could go on scholarship in the summertime and go to summer school and we could pay for it, less players worked. Now you're going to be able to do that, and this name, image, and likeness is going to create another opportunity for you to work. But the thing that's going to create is everything in college football has always been equal and the same. Everybody's scholarship was the same. Everybody got the same amount of money for everything that they did. It's always been that way. It's not going to be that way anymore, because some positions and some players are going to have a greater opportunity to create value for their brand than others. So it's not going to be the same. And there's no precedent for how is that going to impact your team, because these guys are not as mature. It's that way in pro football. I mean, You know that. I know that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes whatever he makes, $20-some million a year, and has all kind of endorsements, and the right guard makes $1 million and has no endorsements. So it's always been that way in pro football, but you got older, more mature guys. And I'm hopeful that college players will be able to be mature enough about this that it won't impact their vision for what they want to accomplish, because developing a career as a football player is still going to be much more valuable than anything that they can do in name, image, and likeness for what you can make playing at the next level.
But you don't think it changes college football dramatically? That was the worry of some people, that somehow this will change the entire landscape of college football.
Well, it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change the entire landscape, but there's a lot of things that we're doing right now that's changing college football. You know, players transferring. I'm being immediately eligible. You know, this whole playoff thing where we're going to end up playing 17 games in a college football season. A lot of things that are changing college football, and what are the consequences of those things really going to be? And I don't think they're all going to be beneficial to the player, which is the most important thing to me. 17 games as a college player is not great for the player. You know, if people manage their rosters and get rid of their worst players so they can get better players to transfer someplace else, that's not good for players either. And we act like it's just freedom to go do what you want to do, but there's consequences for that. I certainly will never do that in our program, penalize a player. When we recruit a player, we're obligated to that player for his entire career, unless he doesn't want it to be that way. But that's not going to be how everybody does it, and that's not going to be good for players.
Nick Saban, is there anything you miss about Miami? This is my first time in Alabama.
Me.
So besides Crowder, okay. Of course, this is my first time in Alabama, and I love Miami. What I have found in Alabama is I love Buc-ee's. You've been to this Buc-ee's gas station thing?
Yeah.
It's good, right?
There's people travel to go to Buc-ee's.
Yeah. No, we did. We went 20 minutes out of the way. So is there anything? Yeah. When I leave Alabama today, I will miss Buc-ee's. Is there anything specifically you miss about Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, I really love Miami. What was frustrating to me when we didn't get the quarterback thing solved over the Drew Brees fiasco when I was there, and then, you know, we brought Dante Culpepper in, which is a good player, and his knee was bad, and he couldn't perform, and he couldn't play. It was so disheartening to me because we'd worked so hard to build this team that had a chance to be successful, and we had no quarterback. And because of that, we couldn't have success. And you only have so many windows where you can solve those problems in the NFL because of the salary cap and draft and who's available. People think you can pick who you want to pick in a draft in the NFL. You pick who's available when you pick. All right, that's different. All right, so you can't just readily solve all those problems. So when you have an opportunity to do it and you don't get it done, that's an issue. And, you know, I love college football, but I love a lot of things about Miami. The people were great. We lived in a great neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale. I really had a lot of great relationships with the players. Jason Taylor is still, you know, somebody that I'm very close to, who's coaching now too. And I don't know if you see Jason down there at St. Thomas. So a lot of good relationships and learned a lot, right, that has helped me be successful here at Alabama. But if you get around Alabama, you'll like Alabama. There's a lot of things to like about Alabama. We got great people
Buc-ee's.
Here.
Can you walk into a Buc-ee's, or you're way too famous that you could never just go in, go to the beef jerky wall and get some jerky?
I don't know. Most of the time when I go in a store, it's not good.
I mean, like even right store. Now, even right now, I mean, we're surrounded by security, police officers, just lookers, right? So there's really, if you were to walk in the mall here and go to Auntie Anne's, you just couldn't do it.
Well, I could do it. But when I'm with Miss Terry, she stops and talks to every person she sees. I know that if you stay on the move, people won't stop you. Mm-hmm. But if you stop, it's like that's an invitation for me to walk up and say, can I get a picture or an autograph? And I'm glad to do that, all right, because I only have a problem when they're not asking. All right, that's the way I look at it. All right.
So if I came back.
But if I'm with Miss Terry and she's stopping and talking to everybody, I'm gonna get it. If I can stay on the move at Bucky's, I'll be fine.
So, but if I came back to Alabama, and I said, Crowder, let's call Coach Saban and see if he wants to go to Bucky's with us, it would be an ordeal. You'd have to set stuff up in advance. You'd have to call security we couldn't just pick you up in the rental car.
But I wouldn't do that. If I was with you guys, we'd just go. All right, and that would be it. I don't go through all that. I only go through that because they're willing to do it.
So you would just go to Bucky's with us?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I think we may have a reason to come back to Alabama.
And, Coach, and everybody knows your face. Is that worldwide? Like, if you go to California, if you go in, like, people walk up to you everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're cool with it?
Yeah.
On the way, I have to tell you the one story on the way. You bring up Terry. Your beautiful wife, and she's a nice lady. She made us cookies. I remember her making us cookies. We were in that little bathroom at the Dolphin facility, and I wasn't supposed to be in there. I was supposed to be in meetings, but I was sneaking out playing on my phone, and you caught me. And you were at the urinal, and I walked past, and my only thought, I was like, if I say Terry, he can't be mad at me because he loves his wife. And I said, hey, Coach, how's Terry? And you took a pause, you looked back at me, and you said, she'll be a lot better if you can cover her back on third down. And I thought you were going to look over and give me a smirk, and you just there and looked straight at the wall.
Can you confirm or deny that story?
That's true.
That sounds like you.
On both counts.
That sounds like you. Nick Saban, we are here in Birmingham, SEC Media Days. The 2021 Chick-fil-A kickoff game is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. September 4th, we'll be here before you know it. We appreciate you making some time for us. And if you do want to go to Bucky's later, I am available, and I've got Crowder stories. I'm sure you've got a few yourself.
That's it. All right. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
Nick Saban. Yep. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder after this.
Unfortunately, this is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Somebody texts in, start of this show is fire. Or, as they say in France, Fayel.
Hock and Crowder.
Hey! Got to pay back. Revenge. I'm mad. Got to get back. I need some get back.
Never in my wildest day would I think I would have said, let's replay a Nick Saban interview. That's what we just did.
Come on. Y'all got to go into this with an open mind. Y'all are still upset about, what was that, 2006?
I am. I mean, if you want to be honest, I am still upset about that. But look, let's be real. Yesterday was fun. It was fun, Crowder. I really enjoyed that. I'm glad we had a chance to replay it today.
Yes. Now, for real, y'all are still upset he left?
Of course, but it's not, again, it's not
Why?
That he left. Well, it's not that he left, it's that he lied.
He's also
lied.
Stealing all of our high school kids, going to their school, still sticking it to us, and winning titles in Miami.
But if he never came to Miami, he would still be stealing our kids. Y'all got to get over this Nick Saban hate, man. If you don't like him as a human, I understand. If you're upset that he left the Dolphins to go to Alabama still after what are we talking about, 15 years ago? Come on, man, y'all are ridiculous.
All right, we're up against it here because that took a little longer than I expected. I'll tell in the next segment, Channing Crowder, why Dolphins fans, including myself, are still salty about Nick Saban. We'll do that coming up in just a few moments here.
You know what? Hawk asked him what he missed about South Florida. I bet it's Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. That's what he that's what he didn't want to say. That's why he was stuttering. Yeah, Delaware is the best I know. If I left South Florida, that would be my number one thing. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market in Hollywood. Delicious food. I've been going there 17 years in the Hollywood, Florida area. Same family owned and operated since 1951, and they have it all. Lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, turkey, lobster, shrimp, fish. They have so much delicious food. Go to DelawareChicken.com. That's the website. DelawareChicken.com. See the entire menu. All I just rattled off is 20% of what they have. DelawareChicken.com. Find out what you want and call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. They'll have your order packaged and ready when you get there. They'll actually call you back when your order's ready, and if you don't even have to get out the car if you don't want to. Don't even turn your car off. Curbside delivery is available. If you want to go inside, go on inside. I like to talk. You know I like to talk. I like to go inside. Very friendly staff. Pick out which steak I want. Pick out which mahi filet, which snapper I want. You know, these stone crabs here. Whichever way you want to go, just go to Delaware and get this delicious food back home to your family. They are awesome. They're located on 441, one block south of Sterling Road. And when y'all get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, what an idiot you are.
I agree.
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.